Track number 16, the Parmigiani Art Gallery. Now head in the direction of the porticos of Isolato San Rocco. This massive block was constructed between 1953 and 1954 and is a prime example of post-war reconstruction fever. In order to build the block, a genuine act of destruction was carried out with the tearing down of the old porticos of the Trinità, originally built in 1542 and completed by Domenico Marchelli in 1817. And the demolition of the little church of San Rocco that once overlooked the street by the same name. Still, if you walk all the way down today's porticos, you end up in Corso Cairoli, where you'll see a Gothic Renaissance-style building with a singular gilt spire looming overhead. This is the Parmigiani Art Gallery. The building was commissioned by Luigi Parmigiani, an odd character who had been an anarchist and then converted to the art and antiques trade. In 1925, he returned to settle in his native city of Reggio Emilia to take care of the gallery, which is now property of the city council. The gallery came into being as a result of an intricate web of commercial and romantic affairs which brought together three collections of 19th century objects. The first, consisting of arms and goldsmithery, came from the Marcy workshop in Paris. The second, which includes paintings, sculptures, costumes, fabrics and furniture, was put together by Ignazio Leon y Escozura, whom Parmigiani was involved with at various levels, first working with him at his sales gallery and subsequently inheriting his property, having married his wife's niece, who was in turn the heiress of the Marcy estate. The third collection is made up of paintings by Parmigiani's father-in-law, Cesare Detti. As you walk into the main hall, you get an idea of Parmigiani's approach to artistic display, with paintings, furniture, wrought iron objects, marbles, ceramics and bronzes come together in an eclectic summation illustrating the preferences of late 19th century collectors. The Italian paintings are dominated by the Venetian school, with works now acknowledged as being copies of Titian and Veronese, while the alleged Canaletto has turned out to be a 19th century pastiche, and the painting by Giambattista Tiepolo is also a fake. Florentine mannerism is represented by a fake Bacco Bandinelli, while 17th century Roman painting is illustrated by an accomplished composition attributed to Romanelli. There is also a Flemish triptych attributed to Van Eyck. The powerful portrait attributed to Velázquez is in fact by Barnuevo. The other rooms are also full of copies. The collection is divided according to either geographical areas, such as the Flemish, the French and the Spanish rooms, or by class of objects. In the jewelry room and the arms room, the works from the Marcy workshop are an attempt to emulate and surpass the richness and perfection of antique models. Some of the exhibits in the costumes and velvets room are from the Escozura Atelier, and the details and emblems, coats of arms and inscriptions have been added in order to bolster their significance by references to earlier times or to eminent personalities. On reaching the room dedicated to Cesare Detti, the 19th century interpreter of historical evocation through costumes and scenes from the past, we begin to wonder whether the paintings are copies or originals. There are two more rooms dedicated to Escozura and an exceptional work that deserves special attention, The Redeemer by Domenico Theotokopoulos, known as El Greco. But at this point, any visitor might begin to wonder if anything on display is actually original, and even if it is, one gets a suspicion that it might not be. Hence, Corrado Costa's inspired idea of establishing a world foundation of author copies along the lines set out by the brilliant adventurer Luigi Parmigiani. Corrado used to talk about author copies as an underground current that has been running through art history since its very dawn. He examined the question of the genuineness of the presumed original and that of the presumed copy, concluding that there could be nothing genuinely fake. He explained that if you asked a contemporary painter to deliberately paint a copy of Correggio, De Chirico, Giotto or Picasso, his work would nevertheless be an exceptionally true and original work. And on the author's death, in the context of his artistic production as a whole, it would undoubtedly represent an unforgettable work of incommensurable value. But Corrado's argument was never understood.